The 94th Psalm. I notice in the world in which I live that many people seem to be at odds with God. They are rebelling against the authority of God in their lives. They do not desire to submit themselves to serve Him. In trying to search for the reasons why a person would hate God or not want to surrender to God, as I read the requirements that God has laid down for man, I do not find them odious. I do not find them something that is foreign to my own concept of righteousness. God said, "Thou shalt not steal." I can accept that. I believe that that's a good law. I believe that it is well that we abide by that law. God said, "Thou shalt not kill." I agree with that. I think that's a proper law. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." I can buy that. "Thou shalt not commit fornication." Yeah, I believe that too. "Thou shalt not lie." As I go over and as I see what God has required of me in my relationship with my fellow man, I can understand that these are rules that are necessary to preserve a society. If we didn't have these kinds of laws, things would be worse than they are. And I consent to the law of God that it is good. And I believe that man should live by the laws of God. And yet, within the corruptness of a man's heart and mind, there is a rebellion against these laws of God. And as we look around at the world in which we live, we see a world that is in rebellion against God and against His laws. People who do not want to abide by the law of God. People who defy the law of God. And they want to live by their own laws, by their own rules. And we see them as they turn their backs upon God and they begin to speak blasphemously against God. And we wonder, with the psalmist, "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself." There is an aspect of God's nature that I hate and I love. God is very long-suffering and God is very patient. I love that when it relates to me. I hate it when it relates to those that have wronged me. When someone has stolen the stereo out of my car, I wish that God would bring instant justice, that He would smite them immediately. When I do something wrong, I appreciate so much His patience, His long-suffering, His dealing so kindly with me. I think that within each of us, there is a basic desire for justice. I think that that can be proven by the fact that we like to get even. We so often say, well, I'll get even with him. See, I want justice. The problem is when it's in my hands. I really want more than justice. If he has blacked my eye, I want to black his eye and bloody his nose to boot. You see, I want more than just justice, and that's why God, in laying out the rules, said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I'm going to knock his whole dentures out, you know, instead of just a tooth. And so God has placed the restrictions because he knows that there is that desire not for just vengeance alone, but to go beyond, to go one better. And so God has reserved the area of vengeance for himself. He said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." But with the psalmist, so often I cry, "O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, show yourself. Do something, God. Don't just stand by and let them seemingly get by with their evil. O thou judge of the earth, lift up yourself and render justice to the proud. God, take care of them." The problem seems to lie in the fact that God so often does not immediately bring his wrath and judgment upon the wicked. And so the psalmist cried, "How long, O Lord, shall the wicked, how long are you going to allow the wicked to triumph?" It seems like God lets those wicked people get by with their wickedness. I think of Madeline Murray O'Hare. I think of how this one woman has, with her suit agreed upon by the Supreme Court, this one woman has been able to so affect our entire society. One woman's wishes against the vast majority has closed the schools to prayer. This aggressive, blatant atheist, how is it that God lets her get by? Why is it that God's allowed her to live into her 70s? How long, O Lord? She's still quite active. In fact, I was reading just recently, she's been in Russia at a World's Fair kind of a thing there. Has her little atheistic booth set up with all of the atheistic literature. The interesting thing, right next to her, there is a booth where they're giving away New Testaments. The fascinating thing is that the booth where they're giving away New Testaments has a line of about 175 people. And she's just sitting there by herself. She has no takers for her literature. You see, they know all about her position. They've been living with it for many years, and they're sick of it. They're sick of a godless society. They see what it's done for them. and they're hungry for a change. But how long, O Lord, will you allow the wicked to triumph? How long will you allow the ACLU to enact within our nation all of these perverse edicts? How long, O Lord, before you do something? God, why would you allow the humanists to control the public school system? Why would you allow Dewey and Watson and Huxley to so influence our whole public educational system? Lord, how long will you allow the evil to triumph? Why did God allow Clarence Darrow to win the case in the Scopes trial, when all of the evidence that Clarence Darrow presented in that case has since proven to be false, not even held by the evolutionist anymore? Every point that he made in that case has proven to be false. With further examination and evidence, today he could not present the same evidence. It's all proven to be wrong. And yet, in the Scopes trial, he won the court case, which has opened this Pandora's box of the evolutionary teaching in our public schools, and has closed, really, the door to the teaching of creationism. So we teach the children that they are products of fortuitous concurrences of accidental circumstances over billions of years. You're some kind of a mistake. You're just an accident. You're here by blind chance, by accident. You're nothing more than an animal. And now we're tearing our hair because they're acting like animals. Why, God? And how long, God, will you allow the wicked to triumph? Lord, do something. Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. How long will you let them get by with uttering these perverse and hard things? God seems to allow men to say the most blasphemous things against him. If I were God, and they were saying these things about me, I'd show these twerps a thing or two. But, Lord, how long are you going to let them get by with this? Why do you allow the workers of iniquity to boast so much in their iniquity? Men actually boast of their evil practices. The homosexuals and the lesbians parade in the streets, flaunting their perverted sexual preferences. The Hollywood starlets that are the idols to our young girls, they talk about, oh, the man they're presently living with, or the man who is the father of their child who they have no intention of marrying. And they talk so openly, so freely of this casual sexual style that they are living, and they seem to almost brag on their sexual exploits. There seems to be a deliberate attempt to corrupt the minds of the children by Madonna, by Prince, by these others. They boast of their iniquity. They openly flaunt the evil. Lord, why do you allow this to go on? Why do you allow the workers of iniquity to boast? The psalmist goes on to declare some of the practices of the wicked. He said, they break in pieces thy people. They like to attack those who are righteous, or those who would stand up for purity, wholesomeness, righteous standards, morality. Look at how Phil Donahue seeks to destroy anyone who stands up for righteous causes. He seeks to make them look like fools with his stacked audience. It says, they afflict your heritage. They come against the Christians. They're vicious in their attacks against Christianity. That's something that has existed from the beginning of Christianity. Look at how the Roman government tried to wipe out Christianity. It's a good, positive influence in any community. Here are people who say you should be honest, you should love, you should be concerned with the needs of others, you should live to please God. And surely these are the kind of people we should desire to be a part of our society, and yet Christianity has been persecuted by the world. The Roman government tried to exterminate Christianity, and over 6 million were put to death in horrible, torturous ways. Placed in the arena with lions, stretched on the racks, men of whom the world was not worthy. Why would people have such an animosity against Christians? Why would the communists try to eradicate the Christians from their society? You see, it isn't something that just happened back in the period of the Romans. It's something that has happened right up to the present day. Stephen sort of rebuked the Jews because as they looked at their history, they realized they had to acknowledge that their fathers weren't the best people in the world, though they boasted of their fathers. He said, which of the prophets did your fathers not kill? They stoned the prophets. They cut them in two. But he said, you're worse than all of your fathers in that you were guilty of crucifying the very one that your fathers, the prophets were telling was going to come. The animosity against the people of God, the heritage of God, the Jews are the heritage of God. Look what persecution the Jews have gone through. Hated, despised, just because they were by nationality a Jew. Irrational hatred and animosity vented against them. They afflict your heritage. They have slain the widow, the stranger, and the fatherless. Despising the law of God, they are guilty of murder. And who could be more innocent than an unborn child? And yet, we're appalled that over 1 million are slain every year in the United States. But the wicked have taken an attitude that God doesn't see. That God doesn't care, that God doesn't know. He said, they say, the Lord shall not see. The Lord really doesn't care. The Bible tells us that the natural man is at enmity with God. That is, he is opposed to God. He is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can he be. It was probably manifested most dramatically in Jesus Christ. Here is the very Son of God coming and living in the image of God, for he was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But what did man do? They crucified him. They vented their feelings towards God upon him. As they seek to vent their feelings towards God upon every representative of God. And if you become a true representative of God in this world, the world will hate you. Marvel not, Jesus said, that the world hates you. If you were of the world, it would love you, but you're not of the world, therefore it hates you. And if they did not receive me, they're not going to receive you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Beware, it says, when all men speak well of you. For the natural man is at enmity with God, and he seeks to vent that enmity against every representative of God. But why does God allow it? O Lord, to whom vengeance belongeth, show yourself. God, how long will you allow the wicked to triumph? How long will you allow this to go on, Lord, before you intervene? He declares the brutish and the foolish to the brutish and the foolish. For their attitude becomes very brutish and very foolish. He said, you say that God doesn't hear? How foolish. The one who created the ear, shall he not hear? You think that God doesn't see? The one who created the eye, shall he not see? You think that God doesn't know? The one that created the capacity for knowledge, surely he knows. Thus, it isn't ineptness on the part of God that keeps him from judging. Nor is it a lack of concern. It isn't that God doesn't care. It isn't weakness that God cannot. It is love that causes God to be so patient and to be so long-suffering with the wicked. Giving opportunity after opportunity to turn, to repent, to change. But the wicked so often begin to misinterpret this long-suffering and patience of God. They do misinterpret it as weakness. And they begin to speak blasphemously against God. Doth God know? Hath God seen? Does God really hear? And their assumption is that he doesn't, because surely he would have done something about it if he did. How we are deliberately blind to the history of mankind. God allowed those in Sodom to go an awfully long way in their rebellion against him and against his laws. God allowed them to go so far that the homosexuals were parading in the streets and were becoming physically aggressive in their endeavor to solicit others into their practices. That's how far God allowed Sodom to go before God said, it's enough. Their sin has risen up into heaven. The time of judgment has come. God allowed those in the days of Noah to go so far that they threw off the restraints of morality and righteousness. And every man did that which was right in his own sight. It was sort of a period of existentialism, where every man wrote his own laws, lived by his own standards. But God judged that age and destroyed those people. How long, O Lord? And that is the question that really fills my mind. How long can God allow this nation to turn its back on Him? How far will God let us go? How deep do we have to get in the mire before we either wake up or are destroyed? Can we not see? Do we not know? Can we not observe what our permissive attitude towards sex and all of its perverted forms has done? Don't we realize that we are facing now a plague that could very well destroy us all? As the result of our lax attitudes towards the promiscuous sexual activities. Can't we see what the drugs are doing to our society? Can't we see what alcoholism is doing to our society? Look at what's happening in Colombia today. The drug cartels warring against the government. They're that strong. They've got more money than the government. Where did they get the money? From the affluent yuppies of America who want the coke. Oh Lord, how long will you allow this to go on before you step in, before you move, before you act? I am surprised that God has gone as long as He has. I am surprised that God has allowed it to come to this place. He's been far more patient than I could ever dream. But don't mistake the patience of God as weakness or as toleration or worse yet, as approval. For the day of God's righteous judgment shall come, even as the psalmist affirms in the end of the psalm, the day is coming. The Lord will bring upon them the judgment for their iniquities. Let's pray. Father, as we look around at the world in which we live, as we observe, Lord, the things that are going on, we see, Lord, the dilemma of a society that has tried to live apart from God and without the influence of God, who have tried to legislate away the influence of God out of its national life. And we realize how foolish, how brutish. For Lord, we begin to see the results of that society. We see the conflicts within the society. Lord, how desperately we need you. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show yourself. Lord, we need you to step in and preserve men from destroying themselves. Lord, how long will you allow the wicked to triumph? Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done here on the earth, even as it is in heaven. For the sake and the preservation of man, Lord, move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? I have great difficulty living in this corrupt world, seeing the problems, seeing how the young people are being influenced towards every evil thing in their classrooms, in school. So much is allowed. So much is tolerated. And there seems to be a deliberate attempt not to allow anything that would counterbalance or counteract the evil influences. This past week, Fountain Valley High School, our Bible club had gotten off to a tremendous start there this year. They've been meeting for several years on the grass just outside of the principal's office. And there's usually, in the last few years, 15, 20 kids that meet, but this year, somehow, the Lord was working there. Probably the kids realize how desperate is the situation, and the first week there was around 70, this last week there were over 100 kids. So many that the principal got upset and ordered them not to meet there anymore. The one influence that could counterbalance all of the other trash, the drugs and all that are on the campus, can't understand it. Lord, how long? This I know. God does see. God does hear. God does know. And God will act. He has been patient. He's been long-suffering. But throughout history, there has always come that moment when man stepped too far and God was forced to step in and to judge. I am convinced that we are there today. My prayer is that God will work in this nation today, whatever he needs to do to wake us up and to cause the nation to return to him. I'm glad he's in control. I'm glad he knows his business. Because with the psalmist, I just say, oh Lord, how long can you allow it to go on before you move in? But for me, I'm glad that he was patient. I'm glad that he was long-suffering. I'm glad that he didn't cut me off immediately. And maybe it's for you that he's been so patient. Maybe he's waiting for you to turn. to receive his love, to receive his forgiveness. I would encourage you to do that today. May the Lord be with you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ just surround you. May his love fill your heart. And may you walk in harmony with his purposes, in obedience to his will. In Jesus' name.